Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Raiders Insider Podcast on CSNCalifornia.com. Introducing your host, Oakland Raiders Insider, Scott Baer.
Welcome, Raider Nation, to the very first Raiders Insider Podcast with Scott Baer. And I'm sitting next to my partner in crime, Fallon Smith, Raiders reporter. We've been covering this beat since 2013.
Yes.
This is our first time ever getting together for a podcast.
And
you
guess what?
It's going to be interesting.
Yes, but guess what? It's also the first time ever.
Right.
Since we've been covering the team,
uh-huh.
That the Raiders have started 1-0.
Yeah, it's true. It's the first time that there's ever been this much optimism, especially heading into a week 2 game against the Atlanta Falcons, where the entire fan base is riding high because they just beat the New Orleans Saints in the Bayou, 35-34, thanks to what everybody's calling a very gutsy, shall we say, call by Jack Del Rio to go for a 2-point conversion to win it, as opposed to trying to tie it and force overtime. As we all know, at this point, Derek Carr to Michael Crabtree wins it for the Oakland Raiders. They start 0-1 for the first time in a long time.
1-0.
Right.
1-0, Scott. You got this, bro.
For the first time in a long time. And now we're heading towards a game that everybody anticipates that they're going to win against the Atlanta Falcons. Yep. But before we get there, let's go back. Fallon, what did you think when you heard Jack Del Rio put all his chips in the middle of the table and was going for 2?
Well, let me just tell you first, put a disclaimer out there. This year, at least for now, I'm not traveling with the team.
Right.
You know, unforeseen circumstances, I guess you could say. But it's all good. So for the first time in 3-4 years, I actually watched the game from my couch, which was pretty awesome.
Right.
Got to pause, record, and all that stuff. But I was caught up by this time of the game. And I see Derek Carr saying, going for 2, like it was nothing, like we're going for 2. He kept, you know, he was so
totally
poised.
Cool, calm, and collected.
Exactly. And I'm like, hold on, what? Me? You know, another disclaimer, I grew up a Raiders fan. So this time, I guess I can cheer for the Raiders at this point. So I'm like, what are you talking about? You're going for 2. Oh my God, just kicked the dang PAT, you know, tied this game up. But then I thought, you know what, Jack? I see you out there, Jack.
Right.
And at the same time, I'm thinking, you have trust in. You better hope he gets a 2-point conversion. But at the same time, saying, "Yeah, you know, you got some trust in your young quarterback. I like it. You got some trust in this offense. I like it." At the same time, I'm like, it's probably because he doesn't have some trust in the defense to stop.
Yeah, and that's something that I think gets lost in everything that Del Rio and Derek Carr have been saying about putting trust in the offense, trust in his players to get that done. The other side of it is he probably didn't trust the defense that had given up 5 consecutive scores leading up to that, and Drew Brees was doing whatever he wanted against the Raiders secondary that didn't match up very well with some smaller wide receivers and Brandon Cooks and Willie Snead that just ran rampant. And they were scoring at will. And Drew Brees could have been one overtime coin flip away from ending the game himself.
Exactly.
And would you take the Raiders defense or Carter Crabtree?
Carter Crabtree.
Absolutely.
No doubt about that. And I think at the same time, in my opinion, even though Jack's not going to say it, that he didn't have trust in his defense because, like, why would you? They gave up 1,000,000 yards in that game. But at the same time, it was so great in building that trust with your offense and your players, even though there was not really a lot of trust to be built because he does have that trust with his players already, and they have the respect between coach and players. We've already known that. That's the strong suit. In the past, it wasn't there with Dennis Allen. You know what I mean? And they finally have that with this coaching staff. But at the same time, it kind of solidified their trust and respect.
And really,
the fact that he could execute the play and that Michael Crabtree brought it down against, I think it was their fourth corner, though, at that time.
But still,
the injury.
Michael Crabtree ran that route perfectly. Yeah. He boxed, hit his guy out, and did exactly what needed to be done. And while Jack Del Rio deserves a lot of credit for making that call, that he's gotten a lot of the headlines over the last couple of days. But let's talk about Derek Carr and his role in this thing. You just did a long feature for CSN, the television station, about Derek Carr's evolution as a quarterback and how he's able to kind of calm himself down in those types of high-pressure situations. What did he tell you? What did you take from what he said about that on Wednesday afternoon?
Well, it's funny because, you know, I said, hey, you're a far cry from your 0-10 rookie campaign.
Yeah, that was just 2 years
ago. He's like, you know what? I don't even want to think about that season because obviously we're not the same team that we are now than we were back then, you know? And he basically just said, well, let's actually put some stats on it first.
Right.
Last year, he threw 13 interceptions, right?
Uh-huh.
Six of those interceptions came in the fourth quarter when the game's within 7 points.
That's not a good total.
And so his next step this year, even asking Jack Del Rio, what's that next step? And, you know, because of his competitive nature, he did force a lot of throws late in games. And so now to answer your question, what he said today was, you know, I'm just so much more calm and confident. My mindset has to be like Kobe Bryant, the Mamba. Got to have that Mamba mindset.
I love that, the Mamba mindset.
Like, want to be able to take – over games, want to have the game on the line and in your hands to execute and have these game-winning drives. So he was calm and on the, because I watched it from my couch, I saw the way that he looked when he already knew, because Jack had told him, look, we're going to go score and we're going to go for two. The look in his eyes and kind of like the look when he was talking to the players, hey, we're going for two, let's go, we're going for two. It was just so, he had so much confidence about him and his demeanor where you're like, oh man, that's like a credit to his maturation as a quarterback.
Absolutely. Because, and that was really the next step for him because he's always been able to make all the throws and lead his team downfield. But he used another great term outside of Mamba mindset is he said that in the past he would get emotionally hijacked that his heart rate would get out of control. And I think that to do it not only at the end there, but throughout this entire game where Drew Brees is putting an anvil on Derek Carr's chest by scoring every single down, which makes even a field goal unsatisfactory. So I think that him being able to keep his mindset not only at the end there, but through the entire game was pretty impressive. Now, obviously, Derek Carr plays every snap and really controlled that game. To move on to a different topic, there was another key member of the Raiders that did not play every snap, and that's cornerback Sean Smith, who got benched after giving up 3 receptions for, you will not believe it, 172 yards.
Yep,
and he got pulled after that 98-yard bomb to Brandon Cooks. Now, I was in the locker room yesterday, and I love that Sean Smith stood up tall in front of his locker and answered some very unflattering questions about his play. He said, I wasn't good enough. I was getting killed out there, and I know I'm going to do better. Now, Fallon, when you hear a guy talk like that, does he gain respect in your eyes when he stands up, admits it, and says, I can do better than that?
Well, definitely, no doubt. I mean, that's what you do when you're a veteran. You take responsibility for what you did on the field.
Right.
I mean, because he's a leader on this team. And I think one of the alarming things where you look back at the play, and especially that 98-yard touchdown reception, he gave up on that play.
He totally did.
Like 20 yards.
He never touched Brandon Cooks, at the line, and he stopped running.
And he gave
up
on that play. And I think that, even though Jack, like I said, is not going to kind of throw his players under the bus, I think that was one of the things that Jack was really disappointed about. Because when I asked him, like, oh, so how did DJ Hayden do filling in for him? He's like, he showed a lot of heart, showed a lot of effort, he was fighting. And that's kind of like the underlining saying, hey, you know what? Because my veteran, Sean Smith, was not showing a lot of fight.
Right.
He gave up on the play. He knew he was getting killed up there. But even if you're giving up on the play, if you're still – I mean, even if you're giving up these big plays, you still fight till the end. You still run through that dang end zone. It doesn't matter, you know, where Cooks is at that time. You still show that you're going, you know, go on every play from start to finish. And I think the fact, though, that he understands that, I think Sean Smith, like you said, the next day took responsibility for that. I think that is huge for a veteran. And he said this was his worst game ever in his professional career. I definitely don't think we're going to see that Sunday. So if you want to transition into talking about the Falcons, Julio Jones is a way better matchup. Brandon Cooks is 5'10".
Right.
He's 6 inches shorter than – or 5-6 inches shorter than a Sean Smith, and he's quicker, obviously. Julio Jones is exactly 6'3", 220, just like Sean Smith is.
Yeah, and I think that that Sean Smith can use his physicality somewhat. The one thing that I am curious about is that the Oakland Raiders played a lot of man coverage against the Saints. He's used to, back in Kansas City, kind of playing off of guys, letting him come to him because he's not a track star necessarily, but he's just big and tall and physical. And you're right, I think with Julio Jones, they can mix it up at the line and maybe he can knock him off his routes just long enough to make those pass breakups that he's always been so good at. And I think Sean Smith needs to nip this in the bud right here to go up against a quality top flight wide receiver and maybe not shut him down, but at least just play well or play better is necessary, because you don't want this to become a narrative, a constant topic moving forward.
Yeah.
Has Sean Smith lived up to his contract?
Exactly.
Can Sean Smith perform at this age? Can he perform in this defense? They don't want to, he doesn't want to hear that. This front office who paid him so much money doesn't want to hear that. And right now, yeah, it's just one game, and that's the easiest excuse. If it continues to go forward like that, you know, it gets a little harder. So that's one side of the receiver cornerback matchup for this upcoming Atlanta Falcons game. Another one is Amari Cooper, who had a great day against the Saints. 6 catches, 137 yards, going up possibly on every single snap against Atlanta Falcons defensive back Marcus Trufant, who might shadow him. Now, Amari has done a lot of good work getting ready for this season. You know, is this one of those real defining matchups? Because we all know the Saints secondary is terrible, absolutely terrible. Could this be a really good test for Amari early in the year to see if he's really got it?
Well, a lot of people argue that Trufant, now that Josh Norman is no longer in that division, that Trufant is the best corner in that division, if not the best corner, one of the best corners in the National Football League. I think the problem with Trufant is his interception count is down. He did have one interception last game, actually, so maybe he's working on that, but he's quick. So I think that Amari, but you've seen it last year. He's matched up with one of the top corners in the league last year, and he still performs, you know what I mean? So I'm not sure if this is a defining moment for him. I think it's a defining moment for the football team as a whole, because you just win one game, and everyone's all talking about the hype. What happens if you come back at home and then you lose your opener?
I think that would be disastrous, because this is one of those games that now these Raiders, with all the hype, they are expected to win this game at home against a team that, if you matched up position by position, the Falcons are generally inferior. So this is a game that you should win in front of a fan base that has been just salivating for any sort of success over the past couple of years. You and I have covered 0-10, 3-13, 4-12, and 4-12, and firing coaches and things like that. And they need something positive to be seen with their own eyes. Now, I don't know if that Saints game was necessarily an upset, but I had an L next to that game, and they came back and they won it. So
negative Nancy over here.
Well, to start the season against Breeze in a dome in the Bayou.
But their defense is
Isn't
suspect.
I think that they need to show better than they did. And another.
Well, I'm saying the Saints' defense is suspect. So
yeah,
I expect
it's suspect.
Them to have some success.
Right, and going with this Raiders defense that was suspect at times, it was very weird to see a game where the Raiders won and Khalil Mack was not invisible, but he didn't make a lot of noise, I would say. And of course, he's being double teamed, he's being chip blocked, and things like that. But that's going to happen all year, because the secret's out now. So what does he do against those types of things? Can he still perform? Do you think that, all right, he's going to get his sacks despite the fact that everybody knows this is one of the best edge rushers
in the world? He's going to get his sacks. Well, think about it, Scott, though. If you look back to his rookie season, like, I feel like every year his progression is slow throughout the year. He starts off slow throughout how long did it take him to get his first sack? A long time.
Yeah, a long time. He only had four his first year, and then
15.
He had 10 sacks.
And then five against the Broncos. It takes him a while to kind of, put it all together, I think.
Yeah.
I think his progression, like everybody, it's your first day at the job. You got to, dust off after, a long vacation. You got
to
dust
back
off
into
some
it.
Of the rust. This is our first time doing this podcast.
We
got to dust off some of the rust. We have never done this before. But come on now, he's a monster. And I think that having Bruce Irvin on the other side, he started off with a strip sack on Breeze. That was huge. And I feel like if he continues to do that, if Mac is continuously double teamed and triple teamed, that's just going to open up stuff for Bruce Irvin. And if Bruce Irvin comes on the scene and has 5, 6, 7 sacks, and then, over the next couple of weeks or whatever, the first, 6 games of the season – then they're going to have to look on Bruce Irvin's side. Maybe
right.
that opens and up stuff for
that.
Right,
evens some things yeah. out a little bit. Yeah, and that's going to be key for the Raiders as they move forward, because even if there are question marks in the secondary or that pass defense, or even in with the interior linebackers, that pass rush, that defensive line has got to be good and has got to be good early. You know, and you know,
What I wanted to say though was when looking at the Falcons, uh-huh. And I know this is completely switching subjects from defense to offense, but Jameis Winston had his way with the Falcons.
Secondary, old
yes.
man.
And so my point is, if Jameis Winston could have his way,
like
with,
that, yes, to the tune of four touchdowns,
exactly, then Derek Carr and Cooper Crabtree can have his way
right.
with this Atlanta Falcons defense. So that's why I think this is just such a better matchup, and you're at home and you're pumped up, and obviously you have to like kind of calm the nerves down a little bit.
Sure.
But they're ready. This is a confident
it
Raiders
is.
Team, and rightfully so. And the reason why week one was so huge is because a win like that even gives them even more confidence. You know what I mean?
Right.
And we're looking at – look about the first four games. I don't know what you had the Raiders – for the first four games, a lot of
right.
people were saying, oh, maybe 3-1, 2-2. But now that you got that first Saints win, you're like, ooh.
After, maybe 4-0.
Maybe 4-0.
Like, you can think about that for sure.
Really?
Because you're heading into these types of games. So, all right, we've hit our 15 minutes.
Oh,
it
really?
Is prediction.
Now I feel like that's boring. Ooh, that was 15 minutes?
It happens fast when you're having fun.
I don't know if anyone else is having fun. Hopefully that you
but
enjoyed us.
But it's prediction time, Fallon. I'm not going to let you get out of here.
Okay, go ahead.
Without your predicted final score. I think we both agree that the Raiders are better on paper. And you bring up a fantastic point that if Jameis Winston can do that, then Derek Carr can probably do the same thing. And I think that Matty Ice is melting a little bit. This, like some of the
yeah.
shine that he had a couple
yeah.
years back isn't quite on there. I see this being another high-output game for the Raiders offense, which is exactly what this fan base wants and needs. They don't need a 7-3 type of game. And I think that it's going to be 28-17. It's going to be something like that where it's not going to be as dramatic at the end. But the Raiders, who have been preaching the entire time that they're not afraid of success, that they're going to go out and win a game that they're supposed to win in front of a home crowd in desperate need of positivity.
Well, let's just hope that it's different than last year when they won games on the road and then couldn't win games at home.
I know, right?
That wasn't awful. You're supposed to win and protect your home. I was going to say home floor, your home field.
Right.
So
what you
I
got,
predict.
Fallon?
I predict. I'm going to go a little higher. I have more confidence than you in this offense. All right.
Okay. Well, I'm sure Derek Carr is going to listen and remember that.
I'm going to predict 35-17. I'm with you on that 17, maybe two touchdowns and a field goal for the Falcons. But I'm thinking 35-17 in favor of the Raiders. It's going to be, I guess, a game put away at halftime is my thought.
And that would be the exact type of thing for a team that needs to beat inferior opponents. And I think that's going to be the major message, is that when you're supposed to win, when you have the horses to win, do you go out and do what you're supposed to do? That's something that we still haven't seen consistently from this Raiders team, something that we're going to need to see on Sunday.
Definitely.
Fallon, first ever Raiders Insider Podcast.
It was I gave it a B.
I am so happy that you joined me. I'm sure this is not going to be the last time.
I give you an A plus.
That we
me
sit in
B
front
minus performance.
Of the Raiders facility.
In the Land Rover.
In the Land Rover Studios.
Land Rover Studios.
And break down one Raiders game heading into the next one. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Thank you very much. And feel free to subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, you name it. Even on csnbarea.com. There's a lot of ways to find it. Hit subscribe. Stick with us. There's going to be one every week. Lots of good stuff. Lots of good guests. Thank you very much for your time. And obviously, I'm sure that we'll be talking to you next week after the Raiders-Falcons.
Okay. All right, Raider Nation, we'll see you.
The Raiders Insider Podcast on csncalifornia.com.